Man, what a great encouraging day it's been so far. I was concerned about following Mr. Compton even several hours later. Now I got to follow his Lord's Supper. Man, thank you for that encouragement. If you want to turn to Micah chapter 6 is where we're going to start off today or tonight. And I'm going to be following up on a Lord's Supper meditation that I brought out last month with the concept of some ideas from the scriptures that I originally heard from my friend Mike Harbor and a message that he preached years ago, and just love the concepts that he brought forth, so I wanted to share that with you tonight. One of my favorite preachers, although Mr. Compton is quickly growing up on the list. That message this morning was amazing. I got to go back and re-listen to that a few times. So thank you for that, brother. So we'll just jump in here in Micah verse chapter 6, verse 8, actually. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is truly encouraging to gather with the saints around your table and to be reminded of everything that's been put in place for your church, for your holy priesthood, a people of your choosing. Father, it's amazing to me that you, the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, have chosen us as your priceless gems, if you will. People are stuck on the physical things of this existence, the vastness of the universe. How can we, as such a small place, such a small individual on this planet, be so important in the vastness of this universe? And yet, the reality is that you built the universe around us, your church. So I'm just grateful, Father, for the understanding that we have, that we can know you, and we can be known by you. And so I'm thankful for the scriptures that we'll be covering tonight, and the premises that Jesus has instituted years ago when he had a meal with his close friends, as we'll be looking into that tonight. And I thank you and praise you always in King Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So a question that often comes up in the news primarily is, why would they do that? In reference to senseless shootings, a shooting rampage or a human bomb being set off in a crowded mall, these tragedies, these occurrences that make no sense. The question is asked, why would they do that? And what motivates an individual to take that kind of action? Why would they do that? I bring this up because it provides a really good contrast as to what we'll be looking at tonight, and why we would do this. Take part of this meal. It's no longer here, but it was. Why would they do that? When we leave here tonight, when we're finished charging our batteries, and we go about our business, people won't be talking about, why do they do that? CNN and Fox News won't be reporting on what goes on here tonight. They won't be news trucks out here in the parking lot ready to interview all of us to put it on the 10 o'clock news. However, what's happening here tonight in the courts of heaven is as significant as is answering the questions to the heavenly hosts watching. Why are they doing that? As we was well brought out this morning, we are being watched by the heavenly host. And this is God's plan, is brought about through us, through our actions, how we march and according to God's marching orders. So why would they do that? It's a good question. When Jesus wanted to have a way for his disciples to remember him on the evening of that Last Supper, he took bread. And that was no accident. It wasn't like they were sitting in this room and he looks over and sees some bread there and he says, I'm hungry. I bet you they're hungry too. Well, why don't we have a memorable meal and we'll talk about some things? No. He had a plan. He could have said a lot of different things. He could have said something like, when you see the rainbow, think of the old covenant. And oh yeah, by the way, think of the new covenant too. Amen. He could have said that. He could have said a lot of different things. There's a variety of things that he could have said, but he didn't. He took bread. Why would he do that? So this bread that we took part of tonight, this bread was taken, and it was blessed, and it was broken and it was shared. Now how profoundly does that exemplify the life of Jesus? A life that was taken, a life that was blessed, a life that was broken, and a life that was shared. It exemplifies his life both in his Adam suit that we read about in the gospel accounts, and as well in his new creation suit, as we read about the body of Christ, the church. First, he was taken. This bread tonight, it was taken. It was taken tonight for the Lord's Supper off of the top shelf there in the kitchen, and it was prepared for Lord's Supper. And that particular box of matzah, or whatever it's called, whatever flavor it is, it didn't decide to be part of our communion tonight. It was at one point sitting on a shelf in a grocery store, along with all the other bread sitting on the shelf, until somebody came along and took it for a holy purpose. The bread had no control over it being taken or whom it was taken by. The bread just experienced something that happened to it that it had no control over. It just happened. Did you ever think that Jesus coming here from the realms of glory, did you ever think about coming here as a baby? Giving up all control to be here as one of us to save people from their sins? Jesus didn't name himself. His name was taken. He didn't control Herod's troops, forcing his parents to run, to go into hiding. You know, scriptures talk about when God made creation, he made all things fully grown. Jesus was a baby. He was taken, and he learned obedience. For us, typically, being taken is typically just a series of events that happen to us. We wake up in the morning and we're taken into a world we don't own. We don't have control at all. There's nothing that we can... There's an illusion of control. It's only an illusion. I live in this house I chose. I married this woman that I chose. That's how it happened. No. God chose us to be together. I chose this daughter? No. I chose the color that I painted on the walls. I chose the car that I drive. It's an illusion of control. Well, generally, we try to avoid being taken, don't we? Using the word in a more common vernacular, boy, somebody really took you, didn't they? It's something that it doesn't sound like a very good thing, does it? Like being taken advantage of. And every human being is confronted daily with the experience of being taken on some level of some kind. Look, no one plans at the start of their day of going out along their day and randomly being killed by some crazed shooter. Going to a movie at 12 o'clock at night for a premiere and somebody walks in down at the stage and just starts shooting people. Nobody plans for that. Nobody plans on going to work and having to jump from a window of a 52nd floor window of a high-rise building because an airliner crashed into the building. Nobody plans for that. No one plans on finding out that they have cancer or finding out that they've lost their job. And no one plans for those types of things, do they? But they still happen. None of us have a guarantee from one moment to the next of anything. Everyone has to deal with being taken and dealing with giving up that illusion of having control. All of us do. So the bread was taken. It was blessed. Jesus blessed the meal. He blessed the bread. And he didn't say, "Oh, bread, be blessed." Think about it. When we pray for our food and we pray for it to be blessed, we thank God, thereby placing it in the proper relationship with God. In other words, to bless something is to put it in the proper relationship with God. When we are blessed because we've been put in the proper relationship with God. Jesus was blessed because he was put in the proper relationship with God. In the world's common vernacular, use of this word is an indication of someone's good fortune. It's not really the way the word is properly used according to God's plan. We hear it all the time. She's been blessed by having all that she's ever hoped for. Or, we're blessed to live in America. They aren't blessings unless they're put in the proper relationship with God. Zoe's a blessing to my wife and I because we thank God every day that He sent her to us. Thank you, God. The proper relationship. It's interesting. God's reality is often the opposite of the world's impressions. Isn't that true? Jesus said, "Those who are poor in spirit are blessed. Those who mourn are blessed. Those who show mercy are blessed. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed." We sometimes tend to think that the blessed are the rich, the beautiful, the powerful. Do you ever wish you had more control than a loaf of bread on the shelf at the grocery store? Do you ever look it up, the occurrences in your life and in the world, and wonder, what does it all mean? See, in order to gain control, you have to give that control away. By the time we're in kindergarten, we know all the words we need to know to put ourselves in a proper relationship with God. Please, thank you, yes, and I'm sorry. So when we try to hang on to the control in our lives, the perceived or the illusion of control, we lose it. But when we give control to God as good stewards of all the things that He's given us, and we give the control to Him, we have all the control we need and we're blessed. He blesses us in that. So the bread was taken. But why would Jesus do that? Again, the question, why did he do that? The bread was taken, the bread was blessed, and then it was broken. Isn't it true that the conventional religion would like to stop at the first two? You wake up, things are horrible. Get right with God, things are wonderful. End of story. Now, the scriptures teach that things are a little more complicated than that. Has your life proven to be a little more complicated than that? Yeah, mine has. Before it can be eaten, the bread must be broken. Sometimes the experience of being broken is deliberate, and the outcome is understood. The joy is mixed with pain and discomfort. I'll give you an example. When a woman decides to have a baby, she takes her body, which the world tells that is the beauty of the body is of great importance. She allows it to be broken and disfigured and broken in pain, pain of childbirth. Sometimes the brokenness is deliberate. Most of the time, the brokenness is not deliberate and the outcome is unknown. A painful disease, a fatal car accident, the loss of a job, physical degradation, like knee replacement, shoulder replacement, hip replacement, eye surgery. Our physical degradation is difficult for all of us to deal with. How about the death of a loved one? So our lives can contain pain and tragedy. Not all of us will experience the pain and death as a result of being taken. But by the time we have lived 2 or 3 decades, we've experienced pain and sadness. So the bread is broken. Jesus took bread and he broke it. The nation of Israel was led into exile. Jesus was crucified on a tree. So the bread is broken. We must be broken. You recall the jar of expensive perfume that was broken and used to anoint Jesus' feet. See, before we can be of use, we must break our stubbornness and our tendencies. We came around the table and the body of Christ is taken, blessed and broken. So as the body of Christ, as individuals, we're taken, we're blessed, and yes, broken. And then we're shared. God's eternal plan. Taken, blessed, broken, and shared. The world is really suspicious of sharing, isn't it? The world's wisdom is get yours. The guy that dies with the most toys wins. That's the world's wisdom. You know what Jesus said? He said, you want abundance? Share. The very purpose of the bread, the very purpose of the body of Christ is to be shared. The purpose of our lives is to be shared. Once Jesus was crucified, he could be shared and part of our lives in a way he couldn't before. He said, I must go so that the Helper can come. Christ's life is shared by those who are in Christ and those who abide in Christ. If we have been crucified with him, if we have died with him, then likewise we've been raised with him to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6 tells us. In order to truly do that, we have to crucify the flesh. In other words, we have to be broken as Jesus was broken. A crucifixion is a painful experience. In order to crucify the flesh, there's going to be a lot of pain. It's a painful experience. It was mentioned this morning. I've been broken. You've been broken. This is a painful experience, but it's a necessary one. It's necessary so that we might understand what other broken people are going through in a way that we couldn't understand before. I know that Jesus understands. I know that Jesus understands, but sometimes people need Jesus in the flesh. In other words, sometimes people need you and me. Out of this brokenness comes an opportunity to share. Taken, blessed, broken, and shared. So for what purpose? If there's not more to this table, to this meal, if this doesn't set the pace on the first day of the week, then for what purpose? To be taken, blessed, broken, and shared has to go to the dance. What do I mean by that? The dance of life on earth. It's often said, we are in this world, but not of it. Anyone ever meet a control freak? I'd ask for a show of hands of how many of you are control freaks, but I won't. Oftentimes, controlling people, isn't it funny, are way out of control in their lives. Oftentimes, people having trouble with controlling things have been taken, but haven't let themselves be blessed. Well, we probably all know people that spend most or all of their time trying to be in control, but all that does is deny a trust in God and a trust in His process. I've been there. I understand. To trust in God, to leave this situation in His hands, that's difficult to do. It requires great faith. We probably all know people that are full of self-pity. They've been broken, but they won't let themselves be shared. We all know people that constantly feel sorry for themselves, that are all consumed by their own dramas in their life, that they're stuck in their brokenness, and they will remain there until they allow themselves to be shared by others. See, this comes full circle. This all comes together because God had a predetermined plan. From before the foundation of the world, as Mr. Compton Well brought out this morning, He had a plan. Predetermined. He knew the end from the beginning. So burnout comes from people trying to help others without being blessed or broken. Have you ever seen this? People in the helping profession trying to help broken people without having ever been broken themselves. You can't give away something you ain't got.
Amen.
Or people trying to help others out of their messes, all the while being stuck in their own horrible messes. Wasn't it true, and it was mentioned earlier, that Jesus said, you know, you might think about removing that log in your own eye before you try to help your brother get the speck out of his. Sometimes we get so focused on evangelism that evangelism can't be the focus. Hear me out. Immersion is important. Forgiveness of sins is important. Grasping people and pulling them out of the fires of hell is important. But ultimately, it's about changing lives. I hope that you continue to study with your friend now that she's immersed, because she needs to know the rest of the story and her boyfriend. It's not enough to immerse people into Christ. Now disciple them. Help them change their lives. It's about discipleship. Can I really say, follow me as I follow Christ? If I have some things of my own that I haven't been completely honest about, then... You see, I have to be broken. You have to be broken. The bread has to be broken before it can be shared. But when we put all these steps together, when we put them in the proper order and become aligned with the Creator, the Holy Redeemer of mankind, it starts to make sense. Why did He do this? Why did He do this? When these steps become a pattern for our lives are a beautiful dance. And we get in step with our partner, Jesus. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? To keep us in step. To show us how to dance. And that we all can dance. And we can dance good. No excuses. Two left feet or not. We can all dance because our partner and our teacher. So Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Can we dance? Yeah, we can dance. Can these bones live? Yeah. These bones can live. Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. Can these bones live? Yeah. Jesus raises from the dead and indwells in you. Can these bones live? If CNN and Fox News really knew what was going on here, they'd be out front with a news truck, I guarantee you. At the Last Supper, Jesus didn't propose some elaborate theologies. He merely took bread. He blessed it, He broke it, and He shared it. And He said, when you do this, remember me. When you do this with the bread, do this with your lives. And my life will be a part of you. If these bones would live, if these bones would dance, then do this. Four actions happened to the bread that night at the Last Supper. Four actions exemplify Jesus' life. Four actions representing our part. There's much more going on to this than meets the eye. Much more. Taken, blessed, broken, and shared. Truly. In our lives. In the communion meditation, let's dance. Let's dance. When we leave here from the Lord's table tonight, let's dance. Let's dance the dance that Jesus intended us to dance. Because when we get into step with the Creator of the universe, and Lord of all, it's big news in the heavens. And as Mr. Compton said this morning, the things which angels long to look into, the dance. My wife and I talked for quite several minutes about everything that was brought out about that. Angelic beings are watching us. Why? Why would He do this? To show them the real deal. To show them that He's right. I love that. A third party gets involved that has never seen God, never had any interaction with God, and they're brought in and they love Him? They devote their lives to Him? Does that communicate God's right? Wow, I love that. We're the third party brought in to do God's talking. The things which angels long to look into. It's what we were predestined to do, brethren. It's our destiny. So let's dance. Let's dance. Now let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly very grateful for the job that you have given us, the weapons that you have afforded us, and the protection that you provide us to go out and do this work. We can know full well what you expect of us. I pray, Father, that as we leave here, that we will dance the dance that you have set, and that we will dance according to your dance steps, that we would take this seriously. That, Father, we can know with full confidence that you care. You care for us and you care for those out there, and that you've chosen us to be your mouthpiece, your speaking tool, to go out and to bring that message to those in darkness. So thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you for blessing us and for having been placed in the proper relationship with you. We can boldly speak with confidence all of your words. Thank you for King Jesus that has forged the way ahead of us. It is in his blessed and holy name that I pray. Amen. Amen.